and welcome to the Press Start Podcast. On the show this week, we're discussing the huge price increase of the PlayStation 5, rumors of a new Star Fox game and remake of Ocarina of Time, Brody's review of Super Meat Boy, and our preview of Saros. I'm your host, Ewan. I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And Harry.
Hello.
This is our weekly video game discussion podcast. Let's get on with the show. Starting things off, a global price increase of PlayStation hardware has been felt here in Australia, with a base PS5 now costing $1,000. The digital edition is marginally cheaper at $920, but the PS5 Pro will set you back $1,400. The PlayStation Portal jumped from $330 to $390, a $60 increase as well. First to you, Shannon, should we have seen this coming? Has this been threatening? Has this been looming?
I mean, I think so. Like, this is what all the talk has been and what's been happening across the entire tech industry. Like, I guess, yeah, it's never going to get easier, right? Because we always expect that tech is going to go down in price and not go up in price. But that's just not how the world is working for whatever reason, I guess. And then it's also like, should we just expect these companies to eat, cut their losses and know they're going to make it back? But it's like, if they're losing $200 or $300 in a piece of hardware, like, it's just never going to happen that a business will do that. So yes, but they are hard to stomach. They are big increases, which is wild 6 years in.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that, like, at launch we paid what, $750 for these consoles?
They're far away.
And presumably, Shannon, this is like a direct result of like the RAM shortage, storage shortage issues, right?
I think so. I think it's RAM. I think it's SSDs. I think it's like everything is just getting more expensive. And I think all of this hardware is like the best you can get, right? Like the PS5 SSD was as fast as you can get at the time and still is fast. So
yeah,
I don't really know. They can't cut costs on that, so we have to eat it, unfortunately.
Has there always been like such a minor difference between the digital edition and the base PS5 as well?
No.
Like it's down to $80 now. That seems narrower than I remember being.
I don't think. I'm pretty sure it was.
I think that happened last time. Yeah, where the disc edition got a bigger jump and the digital got a smaller one. I'm guessing because they know that if people are buying digital,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a smaller gap than it was previously. Like I might be misremembering, but I think the digital's launched at $599 or $650 or something. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't feel like there's much reason to get a digital anymore, especially given you'll be paying more for like AAA releases on the PS Store as well.
Yeah, I think that's the one they'll try and keep down, right? Because they know the second someone buys a game, they're getting a cut of it from the digital edition, so they can almost eat a bit more of it.
Yeah. There was a time I thought about maybe getting a second PS5 to like occupy my desk, but yeah, that ain't happening anymore.
$1,000 is like, and it's not just that it's now $1,000. It's like everything is costing more, so it's like $1,000 now is like people had $1,000 to spend in 2020, like generally speaking, because we weren't doing anything with our money.
$1,000
it was maybe a bit more justifiable.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, it's a grim state of affairs. I take it your assessment then would be that this is unlikely to change anytime soon. Like, we need to kind of get accustomed to these prices long term.
I mean, it's hard to know, right? It's the same with petrol. It's like once you're paying $2.50 a litre, like, they're not going to drop it back to $1, are they? I feel like they're just going to keep it at $2.50 a litre. I mean, I'm electric, so I don't have that problem. Sorry.
What a time. Yeah, it does seem to be that, like, all the talk we've heard of next gen so far seems to be that those are going to be kind of higher spec and higher cost as well. Maybe there'll be kind of like some more hybrid kind of Switch style askew that's a little bit cheaper. I kind of really hope that's the case. They're getting pretty hard to stomach.
I don't think it'll be cheaper.
Yeah, I've got maybe a curveball question. Do we think this affects like GTA sales at all? Like, do we think that they're kicking themselves for not releasing last holiday now? Like, given
it might be a possibility. Yeah, life. I think there probably would have been quite a few people waiting. Yeah, that's true. It's impossible to know. I'm really curious to see how this is affecting their timelines for next gen consoles, because really we're closing in on sort of when they would be revealed. slash release as per typical timelines. But
it sounds like it just Xbox could seem be a like, good, like a good yeah. year ahead of them at this stage by the sounds of things. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It, yeah, it's it really grim. Doesn't feel like the current climate to be releasing or talking about next-gen hardware, does it?
No.
I guess yeah. the one positive could be that the jump to the price like might not seem as bad from $1,000 to like $1,500.
Yeah, yeah, fair point. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, truthfully, like, doing the math on this, given like the amount of time I spend on my consoles, the kind of return I get on that investment, like, I can kind of understand you still sort of doing the math, like doing the integrations in your head and figuring it's still a worthwhile investment. And maybe GTA is kind of that game you've been holding off on and to buy like a PS5 or like upgrade from the PS4 sort of generation. But yeah, it's I think it's getting harder and harder to just kind of make that decision to go off and get yourself a new console.
And yeah, the thing is, it's like the people buying it
sometime soon.
Now, like, they're not the hardcore. Like, they probably have been waiting for like a GTA, but it's like now it's $1,000, right? Like, it's the hardcore that have had it day one that would be willing to drop $1,000, not the average Joe Blow. Like, it's a harder sell for that person or Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I saw a story doing the rounds today as well that I think GameStop over in the US is offering an interesting trade deal, adding $69 worth of trade value if you're trading in a PS5 in exchange for an Xbox. I guess like trying to lean into the joke a little bit, but presumably also trying to get some more pre-owned PS5s through the door to kind of open up a bit of a lower cost option for them. That I'm sure still has plenty of margin on it as well, given kind of what trade-in values you usually get. Brody, do you think maybe Xbox gets some second life breathed into it by way of a trade deal like that?
Look, whatever happens, I'm sure this news will be quickly followed by Xbox stepping on some sort of rake elsewhere. So, look, it's a wait-and-see game for Xbox. Like, let's see what they do to... make this not seem so bad in the end. So,
For our video viewers, Brody, do you normally wear glasses? Is that just something I've never noticed? Or is that a new addition to your face?
I've worn them periodically. These are a new set, okay. So thank you for noticing.
Okay, they are a new pair.
Oh, now I feel bad for not saying anything. Someone gets a haircut.
It was my first. The first thing I noticed.
I would say I've worn them on episodes past, but we'll let the archivists go back and find those.
The archivists.
Well, if you're and an audio listener.
And what a reason to tune into the video. Yeah.
What a reason. Check out Brody's new glasses.
New glasses, yeah.
All right, let's pivot now and talk about maybe some good news. I think we'd all be pretty excited about this. A new Star Fox game and an Ocarina of Time remake are rumored to be en route to the Switch 2, according to prolific Nintendo leaker Nate the Hate. Firstly, on Ocarina of Time, Harry, maybe I might throw this way you're first. How big a deal might this be, and are you expecting it to be a fully fledged remake? Are you still excited about Brady's new glasses?
You're still laughing about Brady's glasses. Messaged him on the slide.
You mixed up words in the question. It was just
yeah.
Did I? What did I mess up this time?
You like said, I'll...
Throw this way, you're first, or something.
Yeah.
Oh, god damn.
I hadn't even realized as well.
I promise they make sense in my head.
Just add some
problems. The first and last word, whether in the right place, that's all that matters normally with the English language.
Yeah, that's what they say. Anyhow, Harry, hopefully you understood the question.
It's okay. Yeah, I think it'll be a big deal, like, just because it's Zelda, but it's also Ocarina of Time, which is, perhaps the most beloved Zelda game of them all. I personally don't think it needs a remake. Like, I think the 3DS remake is fantastic, but I do think this might be a situation where, it is a full-blown remake.
Do you mean, when you say that, do you mean, like, it doesn't need to be overhauled?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on the scope and the scale of this remake. Like, are they like reimagining it, or is it just going to be, entirely like built from the ground up? Yeah, like the wind. Like, and that's what they've done with Zelda remakes in the past. You know, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker. There's been a few tweaks, mainly to things that were pain points. I don't think Ocarina of Time really has any major pain points apart from the water temple, which is a skill issue, to be honest. So
was that
fixed?
Or it was changed in the 3DS version, wasn't it?
It was made the quality of life improvements made it a better time.
Yeah.
They didn't actually change the temple at all. It's just you have easier access to items and stuff, which, because half the reason it's so annoying is because you're menuing all the time, but not on the 3DS version because there's shortcuts and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what they could do. I don't know what they will do. Like, I'm eager to see how it shakes out. But yeah, I'm sure it will sell very well and people will get very, very excited about it.
Brody, you and I famously haven't beaten Ocarina of Time. Could this be our opportunity to play through the whole thing?
It's about time. It's one of those games that I start every now and then on the Nintendo Switch Online when I'm laying in bed, and then I, you know, get out of the village and I'm just like, ah, maybe later. Look, I've got fond memories of sort of growing up with this game. Like, I had a friend who had a Nintendo 64 and they'd play it a lot, and I'd go around and, you know, I'd play on the ocarina, I'd do some fishing, I'd ride Epona around. So, I mean, I've got tangential sort of experience with it, but I haven't really played it properly. So, look, I'll definitely keep an eye on this because, I mean, if it's, you know, a better looking version of it with, you know, some of those obviously same quality of life improvements that I wouldn't have experienced from the 3DS version, for argument's sake. And, you know, if they like, they might blow open Hyrule Field into like its own mini Breath of the Wild sort of little open world area with a lot more things to do, like more dungeons and things like that, that would be interesting. But yeah, I mean, I'm quietly cautious, but quietly curious at the same time that, you know, this one might be for me. Either way, I hope it comes out and I hope it's real because I have hedged my fantasy critic year on it. So, picked that up during the week and I was surprised that no one else bid on it. So
Very sly, yes.
It does.
It feels like the time because it's like a lot of people played Breath of the Wild for the first time. And then, yeah, I feel like Ocarina of Time, I think it's to Harry's point, it's like, do they give it like the Breath of the Wild treatment or do they just... I don't think they will because I think you need to keep that game faithful. Yeah. I think they would... Unless it's like something else in that world or like a different name or whatever, like inspired by Ocarina of Time. I think if it's Ocarina of Time, like it just has to be that game with quality of life stuff, but like just in 4K and whatever.
Yeah. I can't see it kind of getting the Final Fantasy VII treatment. Just like, I just feel like there'd be,
and I don't think,
like, although
it
it's another beloved game, that's right. I just don't think it would be received as well if they kind of totally reworked the game.
There's enough ties there to like newer Zelda games that like if you played Breath of the Wild and whatever, like it'll be different, but like you'll feel familiar, I think.
Yeah, it's like Brody said, it's one I've never kind of played through to completion. I've made fewer attempts at trying to get through it, but maybe progressed further than you have on my attempt. But yeah, if it gets a kind of, if it's nice and slick looking on the Switch too, for sure count me in. The other piece of news here though is of course a new Star Fox game supposedly on the way. The news comes in the wake of Fox McCloud being confirmed for Super Mario Galaxy, voiced by Glenn Powell, I think it was, as well. Firstly, on the game, are any of the three of you Star Fox fans? Is this one you're excited for? I'm looking around the
room. I'm a Star Fox fan. Like, I enjoy Star Fox quite a bit. I felt really burnt by Zero, to be honest. I hope whatever they have cooking is good, but like, yeah, I just want them to do like a traditional Star Fox game, like 64 style, and I don't know how much mass market appeal that has, but like, yeah, who knows? I guess we'll see what they do.
Shannon, what do you think this means for the movie, the Mario Galaxy movie? Are they kind of going to do some like multi-dimensional sort of thing?
I mean, the fact that it's Galaxy, I guess, means anything can happen, right? Because it can take place away from the Mushroom Kingdom. What if I am surprised they revealed this? I feel like there's nothing left.
It's so weird, right?
Watching this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, surely that would have been a nice, thing for people to discover and then get out with word of mouth.
I don't think a Star Fox reveal is getting more people in the cinemas, but it would have been a nice thing for those people who know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just don't really get it. But, yeah, I guess it could mean anything. It could mean we would see Samus or like any of the other Nintendo characters.
Shannon,
like,
slow down.
Yeah.
I wondered if they were like going to try and build towards, like a Smash Bros, like Avengers kind of style thing. Yeah, they all kind of come together or whatever. Maybe they're out here like trying to poach the rights to like kind of other Nintendo properties to like bring Spider-Man.
The post-credit scene is just like a cardboard box or something and you hear David Hayter in the background.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past him at this point.
I mean, this is going to be the best way for them to get like Star Fox and Metroid and Kid Icarus and those other like second, third tier Nintendo franchises, like give them relevance. And I think Fox is like a likable enough character to like a younger person that they would be then interested in the game, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It'd be interesting, like, if this game is indeed announced kind of hot off the heels of the film and the characters are being introduced or reintroduced that way. Considering, like, Donkey Kong Bonanza didn't really seem to kind of get that timing right, it is a bit odd that they've kind of maybe aligned the stars for Star Fox, for lack of a better term. Whereas, yeah, we kind of didn't get that long rumored Donkey Kong movie coinciding with the release of the game. I get that these things
Donkey
are probably
Kong's
difficult to line
sort
up.
But Donkey Kong's sort of new design was revealed in the movies. Like, clearly there was synergy there. Like, there was a plan there.
Yeah. Cheeks.
It is interesting as well that, like, the leak suggested this Star Fox game is coming out in the summer or winter for us. So, sort of in the next, you know, 4 to 5 months. So... I don't know. I mean, Nintendo does have a tendency of, you know, revealing games sort of 3 or 4 months before launch, but yeah, you have to wonder, like, maybe the post-credit scene is the game,
A trailer for a Star Fox.
Or just an announcement for a Nintendo Direct next week.
I mean, they could get, like, trailers kind of running before the movie and stuff as well, like in the adverts. There's a lot of synergy that could happen there. We're going to take a quick break now, but be back in just a moment to talk about the Xbox Partner Preview that happened during the week as well. I was away last week, so I do need caught up on all of the announcements. Brody, I might be looking your way first here. What stood out to you, caught your eye during the Xbox Partner Preview?
Yeah, look, it wasn't a boatload of stuff that interested me that sort of was new. A lot of it, for me, like the excitement came from games that have already been out on other platforms but are now coming to Xbox. Yeah. Like, very cool to see Hades 2 coming across next month on Game Pass. The port of Dispatch, like I really love Dispatch. It was my game of the year last year, so I'll definitely play that again on Xbox. For me, aside from maybe something like this Artificial Detective game, which I think did look interesting,
It looks amazing, presentation wise.
Yeah, I think it's
gameplay. I was a little unconvinced on.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, the vibe is there, but I just don't know what the gameplay loop is other than ripping heads off shit and throwing it at things. The only other game that sort of jumped out at me is The Eternal Life of Goldman, which continues to look phenomenal, and I'm just so excited for that game.
I saw you added that to your Fantasy Critic. I was a bit gutted by that because I was going to snatch it.
I've had that
too. I didn't realize the demo was out, so I'm gonna install that demo and play it because it looks
Steam Next Fest.
Weird, was on Steam but Next beautiful Fest. And like really
it's like
quite solid mechanically as well.
It's like a DuckTales Metroidvania.
Yeah, sign me up. What about yourself, Harry? Did anything catch your eye?
I think it's cool that Hades is coming out to consoles. That's neat. I think the biggest thing for me was probably Stranger Than Heaven. That's looking really good. That's from the Yakuza guys,
isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm very interested to see where that's going. I think I largely agree, you know, with Artificial Detective. I think I'll keep an eye on it, but it does look a little bit surface level. Dispatch coming to Xbox is cool as well. I mean, play that if you haven't checked it out already. But yeah, it just seems like a lot of things that, you know, have, you know, been and gone last year that people are now going to be able to get their hands on, which is always good.
Yeah. A quick shout out as well to some of the soundtracks that were included in these trailers as well. I think it was the trailer for Ascent to Zero that had something kind of very much up my street as well. So I'll shout that one out quickly. Brody, you're the only four of us that with the young kids. Do you think Bluey Happy Snaps is something that they would take an interest in?
Look, my kids don't really get into Bluey that much. Like, they read the books more so than watch the show. Like, it's just not something that's caught on so much in our house. But as they sort of get older and sort of understand maybe some of like the bigger themes that I think Bluey tackles, like maybe I will gravitate more to it than say Paw Patrol, which I think is, you know, just for the fun. I mean, the idea of like a Bluey Pokemon Snap game is kind of cool, and I feel like it would be pretty accessible to kids that are my kids' ages. So look, I can't say I've seen the trailer for it actually, but I'll give it a look, I suppose.
Yeah, all in all, a few interesting titles, but I think it's fair to say, like, nothing kind of show-stopping. Tend not to expect that from these partner showcases, I guess. One of the games that was featured, though, was Super Meat Boy 3D. And, Brady, you've had the privilege of being able to play it early and review it for the site. I think as of this episode coming out, your review will be out there in the world for people to go and read. But, yeah, what score did you settle on for Super Meat Boy 3D, and how did the platformer translate to that 3D space?
Yeah, so I landed on a 7. I don't love how it translates to 3D personally. And I honestly think I'll probably almost be an outlier in this, because I did like thumb through some people's previews from the game, like maybe in the last month or so. And everyone's like really, really high on it. And so I went into it pretty excited because I really loved the first Super Meat Boy. But I just think something is lost in that translation from like the flat plane, where obviously I feel like I've got a lot more control over, you know, where I'm jumping. I know exactly what I'm trying to do, but I was constantly like losing myself in 3D space, like in this one, like, because obviously you're tasked with landing on, like, you know, this much of the screen, but you don't know sort of where you're going to land. Like, they do things to try and give you an idea of where you're going to land. Like, there's like a little landing ring that you only see once it's over ground. But like, if you've already overshot or undershot, you're kind of cooked. So, unlike the original, like where I felt like every death, you know, there was something to take away from it. I knew it was a skill issue on my part. Like, I just feel like a lot of these deaths have been like frustrating, just because I'm just like, man, I can't tell. Primarily like with the isometric looking levels, because with the game, like, it doesn't really settle on one camera angle. Like, they're all fixed regardless, but like some levels are like from behind Super Meat Boy, like some levels are like on an isometric side view, which are easily for me the hardest ones to read. Especially when like you're sort of like changing direction constantly throughout the level as well. Like, it's not like a straight path or anything like that. So I just think that lack of readability sort of just made it like needlessly frustrating, like in a game that's already going to frustrate you because you die plenty.
It was a feature of the trailer that they played during the partner preview.
Yeah. And look, they lean into it, and I think it's great. Like, the whole, I love games like this that are like so digestible, you get straight back into the action really quickly. But as long as it's sort of fair and you're not sort of getting fucked over every 10 seconds. But so I mean, my gripes are really only with these isometric levels, with sort of that side on view just makes it too hard to sort of know where you are in the space. But I also feel like, I don't know what I expected, because I didn't really follow the marketing leading up to the game, but I sort of took it as like, this was like Super Mario Brothers going to 64, like that kind of evolution on the formula. I kind of expected something a little more different here, but it follows very much the original Super Meat Boy formula, just obviously with the levels now being 3D. So for me, it kind of doesn't like capitalize on any of the implied promise I think there was to like really evolve the formula. Like, it's very, it's just like a translation from 2D to 3D. And I don't know, that kind of disappointed me a little bit. But that said, like the vibes are still there. Like, the graphics are really great. Like, obviously now I love the pixel art, but this also looks very good. Like, it's obviously very gruesome, very bloody. Like, there's a satisfying slosh that comes with his footsteps as he just trails like a blood pool behind him. The soundtrack's a bit of a vibe, and there's a lot of content. So, I mean, I think I probably rolled credits in maybe 5 hours, going through like the 5 main worlds. But like with Super Meat Boy, there's like dark versions of all these levels that you can unlock by getting the A+ scores. You can collect all the bandages to get like characters to unlock that play a little bit differently here and there. So, I mean, I think there's enough content to keep someone engaged for a good period of time if they can sort of, I don't know, maybe it is a case of get good, and maybe I just, maybe these glasses aren't doing me any favors and I can't sort of, I don't have the depth perception, but I don't know. Those levels in particular, I don't know. But all in all, it was fun. I had a good time with it. I just think something special, I think, was lost in the translation between 2D to 3D for me.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like it, nothing really kind of jumped in to surprise you either. It was kind of pretty just like one for one with the formula.
Near enough. Like, I even think like maybe one of the bosses, it might be the first boss, is very similar to the first game. Like, it's sort of like one of those chase levels that sort of you just, so I mean, it definitely does things slightly different. Like, there's obviously different hazards and things obviously playing with the space, but I wouldn't, to that point, I don't think it evolves on the formula or it does anything surprising like I kind of hoped it would.
Yeah. Well, for my sake, I hope some other reviewers come in. I'm not saying that 7's a bad score, but I hope they come in a little bit more positively than that, given it's one of my picks and fancy. I definitely think I need some more points.
I definitely think they could. Like, I don't know. based on the previews, like I do think people will enjoy the game a little more than me. But yeah, unless there's some people like me that maybe struggle with the camera angles a little bit, then
sure.
Yeah, I think it will be received pretty well.
And coming to Game Pass as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Very good.
Out tomorrow.
As of recording, yeah, I think it'll be out by the time everyone's listening to this. I didn't mean for this last half of the episode to become such a Brody showcase, but I'm coming straight back to you as well, because your preview of Saros came out in the last week as well. You got to travel over to Japan, right, and meet with Housemarque and play the game. And we're about, I think, a month or did you not play the game?
No, I did play the game. Housemarque weren't there. Okay. I went to XDev, which is the support studio.
Gotcha. Inevitably got something wrong there.
Yeah.
Firstly, about the game, tell us what you were able to play and what you made of it.
So I got to sit down with, I would imagine it's near enough to the start, the first basically 3 hours of Saros. Nice. Yeah, like, to put it plainly, if you really liked Returnal, you're going to love Saros. Like, the vibes are there. It's very much of the same feeling. It's just obviously a lot more... It's definitely more accessible. So if you're someone who struggled with Returnal, as I did, like I did love the game, but I did think it was very punishing at times. This game like respects your time and effort in a way that game didn't. And it's probably going to be to the detriment of people who like... you know, really loved that challenge. But at the end of the day, upgrading your character as you can do is kind of an optional thing. Like, if you want to still get back in there and grind away, go for it. But I'm glad that there is now an option for people like me who might struggle with bashing your head against a wall to now obviously get permanent player progression and things like that. So obviously the way it works is on any given run, you'll earn Lucanite, which is like the game's form of XP. And then obviously when you die, you can spend that back at home base. And so you can obviously
Sorry, just to interrupt. I appreciate you're rocking your mic like some kind of hip hop artist at the moment, but if you can avoid turning away from it too much.
Sorry.
That was the glass taken over.
The producer in me is kicking in. It's really
I'm just trying to gestate. All right.
Okay, that might be too close. I'll take a little bit back.
I've had technical dramas. I'm so sorry. Okay, where was I? So, yeah, obviously, you upgrade your character. Yeah, Lucanite, you upgrade your character through, like, a various paths of, like, you've got your resilience, you've got your shields, you've got your, you know, your weapon proficiencies and things like that. And obviously, you can... The whole gimmick of the game is to come back stronger. So, obviously, that's one way that it sort of makes it more accessible to the player. But then it also... Every stage is sort of, like, separated into two parts. There's the basic part where you're working through the first half of the level and then you hit the eclipse part. And so basically when you go into the eclipse, basically it's basically like a hard modifier. Like the enemies get harder, they hit harder, they can corrupt your shields. But the yield of Lucanite is higher. So obviously you earn more through the challenge. And then obviously if you die, then you can come back again. And it's sort of like gets you straight to the eclipse part, so you're obviously straight into the second half of the level. So it sort of respects your time again in that way, that it doesn't make you go through the whole sort of process again. So I don't know, it just does a lot of these cool things to really not waste your time, get you back into the action quicker. So yeah, and I think what it does, obviously more so than what Returnal did, it puts the story sort of at the front of the experience along with the gameplay. Obviously there's still gameplay first, but obviously with Rahul Kohli playing Devraj in this, like he's doing a lot of great work in this, like a lot of good character moments from what I saw in the first few hours. And like obviously it's an ensemble cast to a degree. The actress who plays Celine, who I can't remember her name at this point, I know Jane Perry is involved, but I'm not sure if she was the voice or the model. She comes back in this game, like she's obviously a different character because it's not set in the same universe. But obviously a lot of characters for Kohli to riff off, and it just feels like you can always go back to the base in between runs and like see what they're into, see what they're up to. And like with the whole world being so mysterious and wrapped in mystery, like the eclipse is like slowly driving everyone mad, so it's fun to see how their sort of characters like degrade, I guess, over the course of like the time with it. So but yeah, like it's obviously still very tight, very arena-focused battles. The boss fights are really cool. multi-phase again as they were in Returnal. Yeah, the guns are awesome. Like, I felt like there was a lot of variety in the guns. I didn't really love the shotgun too much just because I'm not that sort of player. Like, I keep my range, obviously, a lot because I feel like...
Is it similar to Returnal in that you're kind of, like, picking up what weapons kind of drop from enemies, that sort of thing?
Yeah, like it's... Yeah. Like, honestly, you could easily... No, you could easily make the mistake of saying that this is basically a Returnal reskin. Like, it basically... plays so similar. Like, obviously you've got your weapon proficiencies that, you know, grow over the course of the run. You'll get caught in like little mini boss arenas where like you'll kill this mini boss, you'll drop a good gun again or a better gun, like even down to obviously collecting like little modifiers that you can get which have like positive and negative perks, kind of like the
malfunctions, is that what they're called in Returnal?
Yeah, malfunctions.
Yeah, yeah.
And the parasites as well.
Yeah, obviously, the parasites. Like, right. There's even that sort of stuff. So, obviously, very much riffs on that formula. And even with the player progression, like they put in so that people can't like grind, you know, ceaselessly and make it like a trivial sort of thing. Like they put overlord nodes like along the path so that you have to beat a certain boss to be able to get further into the skill tree. So I think that's good. Like it'll stop people at a certain point. But then, yeah, there's like other things that you can sort of get on the skill tree, like off the path. Like there's a second chance. Like you can obviously, that was a part of Returnal as well. Like, but you had to sort of spend your ether on it and things like that. But this will be like a thing that you bring into every run, like a second life. You can sort of start with certain...
I think some of those quality of life improvements will like be quite well received. I mean, for me, I really struggled with the Returnal kind of getting into that third biome. I don't think it was until the kind of co-op came out that I was able to play through it and beat it finally, which
I'm
was
still
far
looking
too
for
late,
someone to
sadly.
Help me beat it.
I mean, we tried once, and we just didn't get further. We were just beating our heads against the wall. Still, I don't think it made it any easier, quite frankly, going co-op. But
No.
Well, that's what I've heard, is that they kind of scaled up the difficulty of it when you add that second player in. But yeah, I'm pleased that they've kind of found some like ways to kind of ensure that progression is pretty constant, regardless if you're getting your ass handed to you a little bit or not. Still sounds plenty difficult, though. Yeah, like it's not. Kind of taking away from the challenge of
those
boss fights.
The combat's definitely still challenging. The boss fights are challenging, but they can still be challenging. Like if you don't want to upgrade and go back in, like just as you were, like that's completely up to the player. And I didn't get to see them, but like there's modifiers that you can sort of put on runs as well to make things more difficult, make it even easier. Nice. I found that obviously with the way they'd sort of truncated the runs now and sort of, I guess, better curated the way you go into them, like either from the middle or the start point, I found like most runs were only about 20 to 30 minutes, if that, whereas I felt in Returnal they could drag on quite a bit. And just the vibes, like the art direction is so good. And like, honestly, the soundtrack, like I didn't really talk about the soundtrack too much in the preview, but I think it's Sam Slater who's doing it. And man, it is chunky. Like it is a heavy soundtrack. Like it is so good. Nice.
There's not any of the, like, the storytelling. Returnal, I think, was quite scary at times, right? Like it was quite, there was a bit, some kind of horror. Like you had those.
Did lean into the atmosphere.
In the house and stuff. Yeah. Is there much like that, or is it tonally quite different?
Well, that's what's interesting. Like I would have said it was probably more straightforward, maybe sci-fi from what I'd played, but when I spoke to Greg Loudon and Simone from Housemark last Monday when I had the interview, they said that like the demo or the hands-on cuts off basically where the game sort of goes a bit crazy with like the cosmic horror. So I wish I could say, but I have no idea. Like I think it could go to some pretty strange places. And obviously
I like that they tease that, though. That excites me.
Yeah, and like there's obviously, there is a massive focus on cosmic horror here. Like obviously, you know, Carcosa itself is a term from, you know, the Yellow King, or the King in Yellow, obviously that book. So I mean, there's definitely roots there, but they've definitely made it their own world. And the fact that it like that, you know, it shifts and changes form like each run, like that's cool in its own right. So I came away from it very excited to get back into it. I was unfortunately, I didn't get to finish the second boss. I died like on my last run. I was so close.
Was the first boss at the end of like the first area before the eclipse kicked in? Is that kind of the vibe? So, like you have a first area with the boss, and then the eclipse starts, and you continue in that area.
No, so you so you'll go through this area. You'll hit the eclipse. Do the second half of the area with the eclipse active and everything harder, then you'll get to the boss, basically. And along the way, there'll be sort of mini bosses. They call them, like, solar cages. You get, like, locked in this little arena with, like, a big boss that are, like, kind of like those bigger dogs with all the tendrils in Returnal. And, like, they'll jump at you and rush you and things like that. And
The second boss you mentioned, is that from a second biome or...?
Yes. So I got to see two biomes. I got to see Shattered Ruins, which is like more of like a brutalist relics stone kind of city. Like it's very like almost religious. And then the second one I got to see was like more of an underground network of like machinery and sort of technology and things like that called the Ancient Depths. And like each boss was obviously very different. Like one was very... like almost like an Eldritch horror with like, you know, hands everywhere and things like that. But then the second one was almost like GLaDOS, like a robot that like just shoots at you like hanging from the roof basically. So yeah, very different, like very different biomes respectively. So I mean, I'm eager to see, I guess, how they continue to evolve each biome. And I did try to like get out of them how many biomes there might be in the game, but they said like Returnal, there's obviously a lot of surprises in store. So what I seem to think I saw, like based on the world dial, which is another cool thing they've added, like from Primary, which is like this so Devraj is like part of Soltari, like he's like the Echelon 4, like the fourth team to go to this planet to try and find out what's happened there. And Primary is basically like the Soltari representative that sort of like hangs there. It's like a big machine, very cold, very focused on, you know, the Soltari's like best interests rather than the people who are there. From there you can access a world dial, which obviously once you access or unlock subsequent biomes, you can obviously fast travel straight to them from there. So it saves a lot of like the busy work of running around, which I found was a big problem for me in Returnal. It just culls off that little bit of time that you would spend doing it, I suppose. So yeah, like I think there's a lot of quality of life stuff they've done here that respects your time and sort of keeps you in the action more so.
I know you said it was hard, but where would you say it sits like against Returnal? Because like I think the quality of life stuff is great, but I also really enjoyed how unforgiving Returnal was, so I kind of still want the challenge in the moment-to-moment gunplay and combat. Would you say that that was kind of at the same level as Returnal, or was that a little bit lesser as well?
No, I think the challenge would still be there. Like, I can't speak to how much it would be there long-term, because I upgraded as soon as I could, just to obviously lessen the burden and lessen the challenge, because I am a soft boy like that. I definitely get the impression that the game would be challenging if you sort of played it sort of as is from default, I guess. Like, if you didn't sort of pour resources into the character.
Okay. Only a month away, right? I think it is only a month away, as of recording, the game's only a month away.
Yeah, I think it's the 28th or something, right? End of the month.
Yeah.
And get yourself a pair of 3D headphones, because, like, the directional audio in this thing is crazy too. Like, it's essential. I would say.
and interestingly, to the shopping list alongside $1,000 PS5.
The game was like phenomenal in the state I was playing it, and I was actually surprised to find out when I interviewed them that I was actually playing it on a base PS5. So, and it was like running really well on that. So I'm jealous of everyone who's got a $5,000 PS5 Pro to play this game on.
Yeah. Housemarque always kind of seemed to nail optimization. They always have a lot going on screen, like going back to their arcade days as well. But they've always just like run pretty flawlessly. Very, very exciting indeed. I do have a rapid fire question before we move to what the wiki. It's Minecraft themed, seeing as Minecraft Live 2026 happened since we last got together and recorded. Minecraft Dungeons 2 was announced for PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC coming later this year. Shannon, is this one to watch? Will you take interest in Minecraft Dungeons 2? Probably not.
Brody? No.
Harry? I'm kind of dismayed so far.
Yeah, no, I haven't played the first one. So.
I was a little let down by Minecraft Dungeons 1, but I thought there was enough meat on the bones there to kind of...
What do you think they need to do here to make this one really hit?
I think there needs to be kind of like some deeper sort of progression in there. I just found Minecraft Dungeons was just a bit flat. Like it didn't really feel like you kind of leveled up or got all that much more powerful as it progressed. So yeah, I'd like to see them do more and add a bit more sort of variety to the combat as well. But yeah, I think it was like kind of
serviceable,
decent enough platform to begin with. Yeah. The second rapid fire question I had for you in Minecraft is that a theme park is opening in the UK. I think it's more like a world within a theme park, technically. Would you have any interest in exploring a Minecraft theme park, Harry?
No.
I'm going to jump in. Yes, I would love to. Although I'd yet to go to the Mario theme park, and that should maybe take precedent.
I don't think Ready? Mojang sponsoring us anytime in the near future, are they?
Doesn't sound it.
I've got less interest in going there than playing the game.
Well, you have to leave your house. That's more of a commitment.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd love to go to the UK, just not for that.
Legoland's down the road. Shannon, do I need to ask?
No. Don't. And
no. Okay, cool. Let's move on to What the Wiki Then, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Hopefully the scoring is up to date, but I've got James in first place on 11 points, Shannon and Harry tied with 7 points in second place, and then Brody and myself completing the podium with 5 points apiece. Harry, I think you are in the hosting chair today.
I am.
Take it away.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Ready as ever.
Okay.
The
game is a 2002 action-adventure game developed by Rare for the GameCube.
Oh.
Yes, Star Fox Adventures.
It is Star Fox Adventures.
Oh, very good. Off the mark.
Wow. Nice and quick. He's on it. Off the rip. Yeah. Okay. The second game is a 2017 shoot 'em up video game.
Ewan.
It released... Yes, Ewan.
Oh, shoot 'em up. No, I've messed up here. I was going to say Returnal, but I panicked.
No, it's not Returnal.
Yeah.
The game was released for PlayStation 4 and Windows on the 20th of June 2017 and received positive reviews from critics.
Brody?
It is a... Yes, Brody?
2017. Might be too early for what I'm thinking. Resogun?
No.
2017 the game, feels like yesterday. It was a long time. The game is 9 years ago.
The game is a twin stick shoot 'em up played from a top down perspective. Players move through rooms shooting waves of enemies while attempting to save humans. Power ups and weapon upgrades are dispersed throughout levels. The game was revealed.
Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon.
Can I go back in? Go for it, Shannon.
Dead Nation.
No, you're both back in, Ewan and Brady.
You can get Ewan if you like.
Ewan.
Is this the original Helldivers?
No. Brady?
Ooh, that, oh. No, that's I was thinking Helldivers, so keep going.
Oh, okay. All right. The game was revealed at the PlayStation Experience in December 2016. The developers signed a deal with Sony Interactive Entertainment to bring the game to PlayStation 4. In March 2017, the developer also announced that the game would be released for Windows. It is the studio's first self-published game, and the developer is also considering creating an arcade cabinet for the game as well. It received generally favorable reviews from critics. Eurogamer ranked it 8th on their top 50 games of 2017. It was nominated for PlayStation Game of the Year at the Golden Joysticks Awards.
What is this thing called?
This is killing me.
I'll give you a hint. It is developed by Housemarque.
Yeah. Oh, Ewan.
Yep.
Is it? Oh my god, I feel like I'm so close, but I'm going to like give it up. Is it like Stardust Shooter?
No.
Stardust? No. Is it close? Something
Brody,
like that.
Is it?
Brody?
Is it Matterfall?
No.
Fuck.
Is it called like Helix or something?
No, Shannon, it's not called
Brody.
Matterfall did come out that year, though.
Oh.
But they released another game.
What was that?
Yes, Brody.
Super Stardust HD.
No. Okay, that's what
not Super Stardust HD.
Is it? It's
Do you have any more clues?
God, I don't know what else.
Super Stardust. Shannon, Super Stardust. It's not Super Stardust.
It's not Super Stardust.
I think we've eliminated that.
What else have they done?
What is this game?
Here's a little bit more. The game is powered by a significantly enhanced version of the game engine and voxel technology that was used for Resogun. Mm. The inclusion of a volumetric rendering technique known as signed distance fields allows for smooth transitions between complex 3D meshes and voxel particles to give them more flexibility in how objects appear on the screen. The studio dubbed their art style for the game as Cablepunk, a darker take on cyberpunk.
God, this name is just eluding
this
me.
This is killing me. Yeah.
Shall we move on and I'll reveal
so,
what
so
it is?
So this is... It's pre... Oh, no, it's after Resogun.
Post-Resogun. Yeah.
Pre-Returnal, post-Resogun, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I've played this goddamn game.
This is killing me.
You can't give any allusions to title. It's probably one word,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's two words.
Two words.
Two words.
I believe... Well, one of them... It's a play on a Latin term. I believe it's a Latin term.
Shit.
I'm the actual like physical pain.
I don't want to move on because I could get the sweep if I just.
I know. I also feel like it's like.
Searching.
Let me see if I can find that wiki page.
What have you been reading off?
Oh, well, like a fan wiki. I've been reading off Wikipedia, but...
It's good enough to have a fan wiki. I'm trying to think, because I literally sat...
It's not a low-key game. Like, it was fairly high-profile when it released.
As part of the briefing I did for, like, Saros, like, they sat us and they said, who is Housemarque? And did, like, all their games that came out.
Yeah.
Right.
It does occupy, like, an interesting spot in their history, I guess.
It's developed in collaboration with Eugene Jarvis. The game has six worlds... which can be played one at a time in single world mode or back-to-back in arcade mode. There are 15 levels in total with a number of secret levels, one boss fight per world. Each level ends immediately upon killing the last enemy, and the player is automatically transported to the next level. Apart from staying alive and destroying required enemies, there are a number of additional tasks that can be completed for more points to gather score. If the player takes damage, the level is reset and must be started from the beginning. Additionally, a life is consumed and a power-up or secondary weapon is lost. As long as the player doesn't die again, the lost pickup can be retrieved from the spot where death occurred.
I don't think this is going to help me. I might have to tap out. I don't think I can get this.
I'm just trying to think of Latin terms now.
I wanted to say, like, Pax, like, Pox. Does it start with P? No.
No.
Should we ask what it starts with?
Dark matter or something? Dark.
The first word starts with... If I tell you the first word, you'll guess it straight away.
Yeah.
The first word starts with N.
Oh, no.
Nice.
The second word starts with M.
N-M. Oh...
Something tells me the second word's like matter, but maybe it's not.
No.
Is the first word... I'm just going to throw it out there. I feel like I'm just feeding Brody points. Is it Neo?
No.
No?
Man, no. I think we might have to tap it.
I'm clearly just like clutching at straws here.
We're moving on.
What's the Latin term?
Yeah, that's throwing me as well.
Shall I reveal what it is?
Please. I think we're going to have to. This is killing me, though.
It's Nex Machina.
Oh!
I honestly don't think I could have pulled that.
No. I don't know. After
poor
all
man's
that. Like, oh, okay.
Well, that was poor man's Resogun.
That was anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic. Next Machina. Yeah.
We can cut all that out. We can cut all that out.
Next Machina. Yeah,
he's a fake fan. I might need to get another game now, but we'll see
Next
how this
Machina.
Goes.
Yeah, I was worried about that for you.
The third game is a 2019 action adventure game. Developed by a company and published by a company for the Nintendo Switch. It is a remake of the 1993 original, which came out on the Game Boy. It retains the original's top-down perspective and gameplay, along with the elements from the 1998 re-release.
Shannon.
The game... Yes, Shannon.
Pokemon Fire Red and Pokemon Leaf Green?
No.
Brody.
I wish
Brody.
I was paying more attention.
Is it Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening?
It is.
You got the clean sweep he wanted.
You got the clean sweep in the end.
Oh, dear.
Well done, Brody. That means you leapfrog the competition there and jump up to second place, a point clear of Shannon and Harry. Well done. Man.
Man, that Passmark game, that broke me.
Yeah, that really tired stumped now. Me.
Yeah.
That really stumped me, and then I just not paying any attention.
I still don't feel like I've got any memory of that game, even looking at it.
No, yeah. I felt like I could picture it, but I think I was just blurring the lines between that and Rosicon, to be honest.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Harry, as this week's host, you do have a point up for grabs yourself in answering a trivia question correctly. Both myself and Brody have prepped a question for you, I think, as we did last time. So you can pick between the two. Brody, what's your topic?
Mine is games with characters named Harry in them, from which I'll read three final paragraphs from critical reviews, so that you can try and guess what the game is.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, mine is an Elden Ring question. It's a bit more straight-laced.
Sorry, I got a bit sexy with it.
You know, I think for the fun of it, we'll go with Brody. Although, there's only one game I can recall with a protagonist named Harry, so we'll see.
And is it Harry Potter?
No, it's not.
Oh, he's not going to say
no. Imagine if it's...
You're probably going to get
one of
straight
seven
away.
Harry Potter games.
Okay. So the first review comes from the Daily Star, who rated it 100 out of 100, presumably.
Wow.
There's depth. Hundreds of hours. I can't even talk. Hang on. Sorry. Let me reset. There's depth, hundreds of hours of replayability, and above all, an experience you won't forget. With humor, panache, wit, and genuinely touching moments, this is a hell of a story. Do you have any guesses off the rip?
No.
Okay, I'll move on to the second one. All right. I want to find a short, punchy one if I can. One that doesn't really mention the name, if I can.
Yeah, I was thinking he had the paragraphs all prepped.
I certainly didn't. I don't prepare for anything, Ewan. This is off the rip. All right. This review comes from Impulse Gamer, shout out to them, who gave it 96, presumably out of 100 also.
96. Yeah.
Wow.
Certainly worth a look if you like detective or adventure games, with a lot of depth and character to them.
Is it Hotel Dusk?
It isn't Hotel Dusk, Harry.
I love the confidence in which you went with that, though.
Yeah, you just...
You had a whole other paragraph you could have got.
You just jumped to ask first for that.
I don't know. It was just coming... It's not Silent Hill, is it?
It's not. So, yeah. Silent Hill, number one, the protagonist is that. So, I'll read you a third one, just so you can obviously arrive at the conclusion. This is from Cultured Vultures, who gave it 95 out of 100. Tell me about Hotel Dusk. Was that getting a lot of 10 out of 10s? Just while I'm thinking.
Yeah, it reviewed remarkably well. Yeah,
okay. I've never heard of it. Just like Next Machina.
It's a DS game.
Oh, okay. All right. One of the most intoxicating and dazzlingly dense RPGs of its generation that deserves to be in
the Disco
gold.
Elysium.
It's Disco Elysium. It's Disco Elysium. That's
Disco
a shame.
Elysium, yeah.
Well, very well done. I enjoyed that quite a bit, even if you did miss out on the point, Harry. But God knows I need more people to miss out on points. Otherwise, I'm going to find myself out of the race when it comes to Wathoki. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Gorixter.
Bagging all the points today in What the Wiki, it was Brody.
Thank you. I do apologize for my microphone etiquette tonight. It has been poor, and I apologize to the listener first and foremost. You can find me on most things at Brody_DG.
And last but not least, it was Harry.
Yeah, I'm fumbling the easy Disco Elysium. You can follow me on socials at Harry_Callow.
I think if only you waited to the last paragraph,
I am
you would
a little
have,
bit
you'd have nailed
I know.
It. Yeah,
look, I probably wouldn't have picked that last paragraph had he fumbled it already.
Gotcha.
To be fair,
yeah. I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week, but until then, happy gaming.
Bye bye.
Oh God.